Hello, and welcome to the Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis Show, aired every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Kat Cannabis is the international best-selling author of Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, and the host of Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV show. Together, we will explore cutting-edge insights and philosophies in health, wealth, and relationships. Kat's guests will be ordinary people with extraordinary stories. Now, here is your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis.
Welcome, everyone, and do you know what one single highly allergenic tree can do for the air quality immediately around it, and if you're standing there, you? Imagine if this kind of tree were planted and growing in your own yard. Or imagine if a tree or shrubs like this were planted right under your bedroom window. How about planted close to your front door? Or what if they were planted at the very school where your young children attended? Well, we have someone very special with us this evening as a guest who can answer all those questions. Tom Organ is the author of 8 published books and hundreds of articles. His work has appeared in the New Scientist, the Atlantic Monthly, in the Scientific American, the New York Times, the London Times, Alternative Medicine, Landscape Architect, and many other publications. He is the creator of the world's first and only numerical plant allergy scale called OPALS, OPALS, where landscape plants are ranked per allergy potential, and where number 1 is the best and number 10 is the worst. And did you know that this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that there is a correlation between breast cancer and allergies? Well, Tom's going to talk to us about all that. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Oh, Kat, it's fun to be here.
So, Tom, tell us a little bit about how you, first of all, for our listeners, explain to them what an allergenic tree is.
Well, an allergenic tree normally is a tree that produces a lot of pollen that's very allergenic. And very often, people don't think of trees as having sex, but a lot of the trees are separate sexed. And so a lot of trees are males, and in particularly in landscaping, because horticulture has propagated so many of these male clones. And so a lot of the trees that have been planted in our schools, in our yards, in our down our streets, are these clonal males. And they've created this huge problem, is pretty much what's called an epidemic allergy now, and an epidemic asthma that goes along with it. But, yeah, if you've got these plants in your own yard, then you get exposed all the time. And getting exposed close up and personal, what they call proximity pollinosis, that's exactly how you kick off the allergies, but it's unfortunately a very common situation.
Wow, proximity, what was that second word?
Well, it's a fancy term, proximity pollinosis, which is a fancy
pollinosis.
Name. Pollinosis is pollen-caused asthma or allergies, but proximity is the big thing. The closer you are to something, the more the exposure. So, like, we've measured pollen dispersal for years. And what we always find is that with a tree, for example, most of the pollen falls underneath the tree and then right around the tree near the drip line. Some of it may go down the block and some of it may go 2 miles away, but 98% of it is within 20, 30 feet of the tree. And everything is it's in the dose. You get 2 aspirins and your headache goes away. You take 50 and you're in trouble. And the problem with having very allergenic plants right in your own yard or at your kid's school is that they're getting heavily exposed over and over, and that's just starting a big pile of problems. But there are ways to get around it, and ways, things that we can do, which are really quite exciting, and people are doing them, some places.
So you know, Tom, why did you start to study allergies in landscape plants in the first place? Why did this become a passion of yours? Because a lot of people will say, well, my passion is horses, or my passion is dogs, and your passion is allergies and studying them. Tell us how this happened.
Well, I've been passionate about plants my whole life. I was gardening since I was like 4 years old, and by the time I was seven, I was trying to graft trees and so on, and by 10, I was trying to create my own hybrid. So I've been very interested in horticulture all my life. But I got married young as a teenager. I've had the same wife for 48 years. Her name's Yvonne.
Congratulations.
And Yvonne has asthma and terrible allergies. And at a certain point, 30-some years ago, we had bought a house, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I could landscape this so nothing in the yard would trigger Yvonne's allergies? Because with her, I would find that when her allergies got really bad, then if she got stressed, boom, it turned into asthma. And then several times she almost died from asthma. And so I thought, well, you know, if I could make our own yard a protective place, I could cocoon her in it, wouldn't that be great? And that turned out to be a lot more complicated than I thought. But it ended up being a life's work, yeah. But
you have to live in a bubble.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. My latest book is called The Allergy Fighting Garden, and the reason it's called a fighting garden is because certain plants, it's not that they're just pollen-free and protective. It's that they are very good at trapping pollen. So certain plants in your yard will protect you from pollen coming in from, say, the neighbors or something. So it's not just a question of passive, of planting the right things in the first place. I should make clear to anyone listening that when I was talking about the male plants causing allergies, the female plants are the exact opposite. A female plant, whether it's a grass, a tree, a shrub, a vine, whatever, a female plant never produces any pollen. That's not her job. A female plant traps pollen, and then she turns the pollen into seed. And so the more female plants that are in your own landscape, the healthier that landscape is for you, and the more protective it is. So that's kind of the secret key to this thing, is to avoid all the really allergenic plants and to stack your yard with as many female type of plants as you can. And there are many of them. I mean, there are female lawns, there are female trees, female shrubs, just as though they were male. But if you go to a nursery and they don't know anything about this, which is quite possible, more likely than not, they may sell you the male, and then you plant it in your yard and it stays there for a long time causing problems. But hopefully we can nip this in the bud finally, I think.
Well, Tom, you know, everything you said just begs this question, and I know I can feel my listeners asking this question. So, how do I go up to a bush and ask it if it's a boy or a girl? And what do I look for?
Well, if you find any fruit on a bush, then it's not a male. It's
so
female.
Fruit is a female?
Sure.
Any fruit tree is a female?
All fruit trees are allergy friendly. Yes. If you take like Cape Cod where you're at or something, they have a common hedge called Alpine Currant, little green leaves and then little red berries. If it's a female, unfortunately, most of the ones they sell don't make the berries; they're males. If a plant makes any fruit, it's not a male. Or any seeds or seed pods. The problem is that it all started what they call litter-free gardening about 50, 60 years ago, where they thought, you know, they discuss it in a lot of different books, and they say, whenever you have the chance, always propagate your plants from the male plants, and then you won't have any messy fruit that the females make or messy seeds. And it sounded like the best of all worlds, but the problem was that they never thought about the ecology of it. They never thought, well, gee, if we're planting these male plants and they don't produce any seeds, what do they produce? Well, what they produce is pollen. I might add also that the male plants do not produce normally, they never produce any nectar or anything for wildlife. They don't produce any fruit for the birds to eat. They don't produce any nectar for the butterflies and the bees. And it's just a bad situation. I've done allergy assessments of major cities. I did it all across Canada a couple of years ago. And in some places, the city trees are as much as 70 or 80% male. And it differs with each area, but every area has a problem. But mostly I'm focused on trying to help people clean up their own yards and protect themselves, particularly their children. You know, when we first got started here, Kat, you mentioned the connection between allergies, pollen allergies, and breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're all too familiar with breast cancer. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. The first would be that pollen itself is highly androgenic. It's very hormonal. And people get bombarded with this hormonal pollen if they're living right close to it. And even though it's androgenic, because of the process called aromatase, a lot of that converts to estrogen. So a lot of people are just sort of, they're just having their hormonal systems totally out of whack, often because it's being caused right by their own landscape, and which is, it makes sense because that's where we are at home a lot, you know. And the same thing happens with children that go to schools that are landscaped badly, and that's very, very common, unfortunately. But that's the first reason, the connection between the breast cancer, which is hormonal driven. The second is that this allergy phenomenon is an urban thing. It's not taking place in rural areas. In rural areas, there's male and female plants everywhere. They're all mixed up. It's not a problem. The females are catching this pollen. It's in cities that the problem is, in city landscapes. But anyhow, what happens is that
they don't want all the fruit falling on the ground,
right,
and they don't want all the seeds,
right,
so they're planting all male plants. I never knew that,
right,
but now it makes sense.
Sure, they want tidiness, you know, cleanliness next to godliness. But the big problem is that trees do trap huge amounts of pollutants out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these pollutants are extremely carcinogenic. Now, the pollutants go into... they go into the tree. The tree absorbs them through its leaves. They're in this tree. The tree, if it's a male, then produces all this pollen, and the pollen is now full of these same pollutants. And then the people inhale that pollen, and they got all the pollutants now in a concentrated form. And that's the second reason why there's a connection between, well, in particular, the connection is strongest with women, by the way, and I don't know why that is. But the connection between the pollen allergies in women is true for leukemia, for breast cancer, and for ovarian cancer. And there's also some connection between increase in prostate cancer with men. And, again, that's another hormonal-driven type of thing. But, you know, in any type of medicine, good medicine, or certainly alternative medicine, avoidance is always a really classic way to do things. If something seems bad for you, maybe it is. Leave it alone, you know. If a food makes you feel funny, don't eat it. And right. And so here's the same phenomenon I'm talking about here is like with our own yards. However, most people are unaware of this, and they don't really know about it. And I'm just one person, and I discovered all these different things year after year, and I developed this whole ranking system. The Opals ranking system, by the way, you can look up Opals, O-P-A-L-S, put an Opals allergy, and it comes right up on Wikipedia. And I gave a talk
at
Google recently.
Let's talk about that Opals ranking system when we come back, because we've got to take a short break. But before we go to that break, for those of you just tuning in, we have Tom Ogren with us this evening, and he is just talking up a storm about pollen that I had no idea about. Do you know whether the tree in your backyard is male or female? And do you know how to go out and find out? Well, we're going to talk about that some more when we come back right after this commercial break. And we're going to ask Tom at that time to share all of his contact information with us.
Hey, Jenna, have you seen the TV show Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod on Channel 99?
OMG, I love that show. It's with Kathleen O'Keefe Canavan. She's an international best-selling author, and Lori Boyle, the CEO of Lori Boyle Media.
Right. They're hosting a personal development seminar, Retreat for the Soul. It's about your dreams, meditation, healing, and the subconscious mind.
Ooh.
It sounds fun.
And rejuvenating. Let's go. Where do we sign up?
Their website, Wicked Housewives on CapeCod.com.
Did you know that you can use your own radio show to promote your business and become a celebrity in your area or industry? Do you have a great idea for a radio show or a passion that you would like to share with other like-minded people? The Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod radio and TV hosts Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle will show you how. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com. Do you have a great story to tell, or do you want to write your memoir? Best-selling author Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle, CEO of Lori Boyle Media, are the hosts of the Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV and radio shows. Join their Writers Workshop Intensive to get writing and get published. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We've got an incredible guest tonight. Tom Ogren is with us, and he is talking about how to plant your landscaping using trees that are not going to cause you to have allergy problems, something that I just assumed all trees were going to give you pollen allergy problems. But Tom is here with us today talking about how we can get rid of those allergy problems just by what we plant in our yard. And so, Tom, can you share with our audience how they can find your book, contact you, and where to look up your website?
Yeah, I have two websites. One of them is allergyfreegardening.com. That's been up for 18 years. It's my own site. I don't allow any advertisements on it. The other site they can get a hold of me through, and there's contact to me on both sites, is a nonprofit group called Safe Gardening, and that's www.safegardening.com. .org, and you can email me through that, and I do answer my emails, even though it may take me a week or two to get to it sometimes. Probably the least expensive place to buy the book, The Allergy Fighting Garden, is just to go on Amazon and put in Allergy Fighting Garden, and it'll pop right up and get a copy. There's way too much information here that you just couldn't possibly remember it all. And there's over 3,000 plants ranked in this book, and the whole system is explained. The book's been getting very good reviews from doctors in particular, particularly allergists. They understand it as soon as they start reading it. The problem is the nursery industry is not behind this. There's a lot of money in these clonal male plants, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, can I just read you this one little thing that's going to be introduced as a private member's bill in the province of Ontario, Canada, tomorrow?
Oh, please do, yeah.
Okay.
I think we talked about that just before you went on air, yes.
Yeah, okay. So this is a bill. It's called the Allergy-Friendly Schoolyard Act of 2015. It's going to be introduced by the Honorable Monty Quinter, MPP from York Center, Ontario. Okay, here's the bill. It's quite short. No allergenic clonal male allergy-causing plants, shrubs, or trees should be planted in any schoolyard in the province of Ontario. Plants, shrubs, and trees that are not male but are still known to be allergenic should not be used. When existing landscape plants in the schoolyard need to be removed, they should be promptly replaced with native or non-native pollen-free selections. If these are not available, only selected allergy-friendly plant material will be accepted. The criteria for potential allergenicity of the landscape plants should be based on OPALS, O-P-A-L-S-T-M, the Ogren Plant Allergy Scale, the worldwide used and accepted numerical plant allergy scale. The scale is numerically rated 1 to 10, where 1 is allergy-friendly and 10 is the most allergenic. Landscapes that are ranked 1 to 4 could be considered to be low allergy or allergy-friendly. So anyhow, tomorrow that's going to be introduced in Ontario. I'm very excited about it, you know.
So they're going to be introducing this in order to take trees that are creating allergies and causing children to have trouble breathing and all kinds of problems. They're going to take those trees out and replace them with female trees that are non-allergenic. Is that what that bill is saying?
Yes, that's exactly what it's saying. And
that's wonderful.
And in Canada, in Ontario in particular, very big problems with asthma in children. More than 1 out of 10 children up there have an asthma. And it's just not a good situation. It costs tons of money. Some children die from it. It's just not right that we should plant highly allergenic plants in schoolyards. But and nobody did it on purpose. But it's been
done. No, they didn't know. Now they do.
Yeah. In Spain, they're now building, based on OPALS again, they're building what they are calling hypoallergenic parks. And so they're landscaping these whole parks, everything in them to be allergy-free or allergy-friendly. Wonderful concept, and people have been asking me, how come they can't do that in the United States? And I'm like, well, I wish they would.
Maybe we'll catch up. So it kind of begs the question, though, Tom, if you're planting all of these female trees and all of these female shrubs, how are don't you need a male for something? Or can we get rid of all the males? Are gone, poof, all the male trees, the shrubbery are gone. Don't we need them for something?
In evolution, males are almost like not important anymore. There are many different types of animals where there are no males. Every single whip-tailed lizard in the state of Texas is a female, and they keep having babies without the males.
Goodness, listeners, did you hear that?
it's called parthenogenesis. But to answer that question, nowadays, trees and shrubs are grown from asexual methods. In other words, cuttings or grafting or cloning or tissue culture or something. Back when they still grew all the plants that we use in our landscape from seeds, allergies only affected about 2% of us, and now it's around 40%. But nowadays they have rooting hormones and fogging systems and greenhouses, and they can grow roots on a broomstick pretty much now. So to answer that question, no, it's not going to be a problem. There's so many males out there in the urban landscapes that for the rest of our life, if we planted nothing but female, that still wouldn't be a problem. It would just reduce the amount of allergies and asthma. But,
Basically, parthenogenesis is males need not apply.
Parthenogenesis, yeah, you could do a whole show just on parthenogenesis.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
You know, there are no plants or animals where only males exist because males can't have babies, you know.
Yeah,
but females
they haven't figured that one out yet, right? That's amazing. Well, you know, Tom, it's amazing. We're down to our last 4 minutes of the show. I know it went so quickly. I know. Can you share your information with us one more time? How can people find your books? How can they get in touch with you? And how can they go and find the information from your sites to maybe go out and check to see if some of the problems that their children are having with asthma are due to their landscaping?
Yeah, I would say the simplest thing, I write under the name of Thomas Leo Ogren. So if you just Google Thomas Leo Ogren, you will get hundreds of thousands of things that will connect to me. And if you go to either one of those two websites, allergyfreegardening.com or safegardening.org, you can get in direct contact with me. And I am particularly interested in, I'm particularly interested in talking to city planners, to public health people, MDs, nurses, health coaches, landscapers, but I'm perfectly willing to talk to just a person who's got a small family, has got a yard that they're confused about or something. We need to share good information. And that, in the foreword to my book, which is written by a wonderful allergist, he wrote, "The Beauty of Allergy-Free Gardening," that was my first book, is that there are no side effects to it. There are no negative side effects, as opposed to the different therapies. And sometimes the best things for us to do is not just to keep taking more pills or something. You know, when we take allergy meds, they dampen down our immune system. And when we dampen down our immune system, that leaves us vulnerable to things that we ought to be allergic to. And so the most important thing is this proximity business. We need to clean up our own proximity, to turn our own yards into a cozy place where, you know, our husbands and wives and children and our pets and everything, because the pets get allergies too, believe me. A dog will be allergic to the same pollens that his owner will. But we need to start locally and then expand. At the same time, we need to ask the people in charge, why can't we do that in our city? What's the downside there? And believe me, there is no downside to it. It just takes a little bit more effort maybe, but it's worth it. I mean, anybody listening that has bad allergies will tell you that when the allergies are kicking off, it's miserable. And anybody listening that has asthma or knows anybody with asthma will tell you how utterly miserable it is when you feel like you can't breathe. And I mean, I've measured pollen counts at a school in Las Vegas, Nevada once, that were over 60,000 grains per cubic yard of airspace. And that school had 24 trees, and 23 of them were male. And the children there were just getting bombarded with this huge amount of pollen. And children, you know, they run around, and they jump, and they're active. And they're breathing all that in. Yes, and they have double the amount of air exchanges that somebody my age would have. And so and they're small, and so they're getting this huge amount of pollen, and it's overloading them, and in a way it's just criminal, because there is something we can do about it, and it's not that difficult if we have the information, but the information is there now.
Tom, I really want to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing this important information with us. So if you're listening and your child is suffering from allergies, it might behoove you to see if those allergies that they have are from your yard or maybe their schoolyard. And by going to Tom Orgren's website, you may be able to answer that question. So thank you once again for being on the show with us today, Tom. We really appreciate all of your input.
Oh, I love being on your show, Kate. Wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis Show. If you would like to comment or have an idea for the show or have a question for Kat or one of her guests, please visit her on Facebook at Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. This show and previous shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio, accessible from survivingcancerland.com and accessyourinnerguide.com. Join us again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Until then, have a great week.